ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, Stephanie's clearly not feeling too good.
No.
Because she's not here.
No.
She's here, but she's not here.
Right.
Down here.
Yeah, she, her flu, the flu that she had yesterday got a lot worse. Mm. And, you know, as soon as she's able to come back and tell you about it, she will. But, yeah, it didn't sound like a good thing yesterday. So,
no.
No, so you got Jim and me here in the new Stephanie Miller studio on Free Speech TV at freespeech.org. So,
and John Fugelsang will be calling in,
yes.
As will our pal Rick Overton a little later.
Yes, indeed. So give us a call at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. Jim,
do you
know?
Call?
Yeah, well, no. Do you know how to answer John Fugelsang on the bottom line?
There he is.
Yes.
Okay.
Hit the middle button.
Middle button.
Yes.
Hello. Is this Mr. Birdsong?
Help us.
Congrats on running the asylum.
Thank you. Yeah, this ought to be fun today because I'm running a brand new ship here and don't know exactly how to work everything and have to concentrate real hard on how to do it. So
right. Well, the important thing is we and the rest of the country that's not Southern California who are freezing feel really bad for you guys.
Yeah, I had to take my sweatshirt off yesterday because I was getting too hot.
Oh, that's awful. I heard with the wind chill it went down to 55 yesterday. Are you okay?
No, it got down to 60 actually.
Ooh, 60. Wow, it's like one big Jack London short story for you guys.
I know, it's awful.
Minus the wolf.
Hey, John, how's it going?
It's going great. We're enjoying our polar vortex over here. Mm. And, you know, if you're a guy who doesn't like to read and thinks it's cold, then you can say 97% of the world's scientific consensus is wrong.
That's right.
Like Donald Trump.
Now, okay. This whole polar vortex thing, that just seems like a made-up load of crap that meteorologists made up to make it sound worse. I've never heard that as a meteorological term before.
I've never heard of it before either, but, you know, the Weather Channel, they got to sell advertising time somehow. I mean, it's remarkable. Like, some of the stats I've heard are that, you know, with the wind chill, it's going to be close to minus 60 in Chicago, and that some parts of Canada are colder than Mars.
Yeah,
right
now.
But at the same time, our friends in Australia are enjoying up to 120 degrees, where it's summer over there. So global warming is still going on.
This is why we call it the climate change, because it affects the planet differently in different places.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, all the precipitation and snow is, you know, according to 97% of the world's scientists, directly related to global warming. As the polar ice melts, that moisture goes into the sky and it comes down as precipitation, you know, throughout the rest of the year.
Yep.
So it's a great scientific way to feel good about the fact that most of America is colder than the motherly love of Barbara Bush.
Aww.
And Mars.
Yeah. I guess the average temperature in the United States today is 19 degrees above zero.
Mm. Yeah, it's appalling. Right now in Asheville, where I was listening to you guys from 88, 880 The Revolution, it is 0 degrees.
Oof.
Yeah, it's 3 degrees in New York City right now.
Yeah.
And it's horrible. There have already been over 16 deaths nationwide. And
right.
We're hoping that everyone who can stay in today stays in, and everyone who has to go to work is very careful on the roads.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah, while we're trapped here in sunshine, we feel for you. We really
do. It's as cold as the Republican Senate's heart towards unemployed Americans.
Right, how cold it is. It's as cold as the attitude that Liz Cheney has towards Mary.
Oh, God. Hey, you know, my question is, I respect that Liz is dropping out and she wants to, you know, harass her sister in the private sector. But does she still have to pretend she lives in Wyoming now? That's the big question.
Did she ever sell her house in the D.C. suburbs?
I don't know if she ever quite got around to that. I hope she still has Roger Ailes on speed dial, too.
Oh, I'm sure she does. I'm sure she does. And apparently there's going to be a really big blockbuster book coming out about Roger Ailes.
Oh, well, we can look forward to that.
Yes.
But I am really sad that we're not going to get to see a year of the Cheneys, you know, completely wrecking their credibility with the Republican Party. And it looks like Senator Mike Enzi can keep on fly fishing.
Yeah, in fact, Senator Mike Enzi had something to say about that yesterday.
Liz gave me a call, and we had a brief conversation. And I do believe that family comes first. And I think that I respect her decision on that. She's in our prayers. She and her family are in our prayers.
Yes, because Liz dropped out due to unspecified family concerns.
Yeah. No, I think those family concerns were that she was 30 points behind.
Yeah, well, you know, she gave it a good run, and she did drop out with only 10 months to go, so she almost made it.
That's Sarah Palin-like abilities.
Indeed. Also, yeah, I think that's fantastic. Normally, you're supposed to get the job and then quit and go to work for Fox News.
Right.
And do a reality show in the middle.
Indeed. Yeah. But, you know, Liz Cheney, I mean, this is that whole sense of entitlement. And I'm actually sad because I want the name Cheney in the news every day.
Yeah.
You know, I still blame Bush for the stuff Bush did. And I'm getting pretty sick of people who get really mad at you when you bring up the fact that we're still suffering from the stuff Bush did.
Mm-hmm.
Aided, let's be honest, aided by way too many Democrats. But I'm really in favor of keeping the words Bush and Cheney in the public mind as much as possible. So I'll miss Liz as a comedian. You know, that kind of carpet bagging is hard to come by.
Now, what do you say to Republicans who say, oh, you're living in the past? You know, live in the present.
Well, the present is...
Oh, yeah, you know what I say about that? I take their Reagan pins off their jacket. You know, and if you don't like deficit, it's time to throw out your Ronald Reagan love doll. There's a reason why in my entire lifetime, any kind of surplus or balanced budget by a president has happened under a Democrat,
uh-huh.
Never once in my lifetime under a Republican.
And Bush made a big point of that in his first inaugural address.
We got ourselves a surplus. Means you're paying too much tax. I'm going to fix that.
That's exactly right.
Sure did.
And look how much that helped us. Uh-huh. Cutting taxes while having two wars off the books is not conservative. And a lot of people still haven't learned that yet. So... you know, I'll miss Liz. She's good for comedy. And it's also just, you know, a really sad day when you consider that the Republican Party thinks that if you aren't working because you live off of inheritance or you live off of interest, we'll fight to cut your taxes. But if you're not working because we got rid of all the jobs through NAFTA, which the Democrats certainly helped out with, if you're not working because your jobs have been outsourced, well, you're on your own.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So it's a really sad day to see the Obama administration scrambling, calling Republican senators and begging them to please try to keep unemployment benefits going for 3 million Americans. What's going to help the economy? Having poor people become much, much more poor, or giving them a couple of nickels that they're going to spend and pump back into the economy right away? The other 1% will still take their cut. That money will still trickle up. But it's about stimulus, and it's about an economy. And if you've got people who can't afford to pay the rent, who have to make the choice between food and medicine, which is way too many Americans right now, give them a few nickels. You know, the Bible says you have to have a jubilee year and forgive all debts every 7 years. If they really want a government based on Christian values, they can start reading the Bible.
Yeah, but then you have people like Senator Rand Paul who says things like this.
I've always said that I'm not opposed to unemployment insurance. I am opposed to having it without paying for it. I do think, though, that the longer you have it, that it does provide some disincentive to work.
You know what's a disincentive is when people can't afford to buy things and businesses go under because they have no money.
Yeah, you know what's awesome? Subsistence living, getting barely enough
mm-hmm.
so that your family can eat and you can pay the bills. Well, your children don't respect you, of course, because you're sitting on the couch watching Judge Hatchet all day. It is so fantastic, and Rand Paul cracked the code. People want to work in this country. This president introduced a jobs package in 2011 that was 60% tax cuts, and the Republican Party still killed it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right. God. Do you think Harry Reid is going to be successful in getting an extension through?
You know, it's going to be a real test. I mean, I don't really understand how the GOP can cotton to being pushed over the brink. And it's going to be interesting to keep close to your TVs and radios today, because as soon as they have this vote, the president will give a speech where he will try to shame the entire GOP. And I hope it works, because people are really struggling in America right now. And I don't know how you call yourself a patriot when you allow this kind of suffering to continue while still fighting to give tax cuts to people who don't need more tax cuts. It's not patriotic, and it's not sustainable, and it's not conservative.
Yep.
Sorry.
Well, Harry Reid is fighting for it. Here's what he had to say yesterday.
They're trying to make ends meet from month to month. Today, there's only one job open for every three people searching. We have never had so many unemployed for such a long period of time.
I'm sorry you have to see me like this. I'm sorely vexed.
He does his best work behind the scenes.
Yes, it's true. When Harry Reid gets really angry, he transforms and becomes Bill Bixby.
Uh.
I'm sorry you had to see me like this. I'm so mad I could rip the tassels off my loafers. But, you know, Harry Reid's grown quite a set of vertebrae in the last few months. Mm-hmm. I mean, what they did with the government shutdown, I was astonished at how these Democrats stood so firmly. And I don't really want to see them shaming Republicans over this. I want to see them convincing Republicans that this is the patriotic thing to do. Nobody wants to be unemployed and living on a subsistence check. People want to work and take care of themselves and take care of their families. And, you know, patriotism to me isn't the ability to blow up a bunch of brown people by a robot 5,000 miles away. It's taking care of your own right here. And this is going to be a real moral litmus test for the GOP. I hope they pass it.
Yep. Same here. So does Gene Sperling, director of the White House Economic Council.
Let's get them done right now in a bipartisan way. And everybody can share credit in doing something that's the right thing for the American people.
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, how are you going to get the jobs back? That's the big question. You know, people aren't going to move back. I mean, I was in Detroit, and they're doing so many things to try to get young professionals to move back into the city. They're trying to get people who will create jobs. Mm-hmm. But for a party that defends the job creators so much, I think the job creators are the one group of people we have the most right to be pissed off at for not creating those jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they're taking their profits and going home and not creating yep. jobs with those profits.
Their profits are all going in the Caymans, you know? I mean, right. The money's not trickling down. The money's staying right where it is, and it's not helping our economy. It's stagnant, and this is why you need flow, and you need cash flow throughout the country, and this is why stimulus works. The biggest rap on Obama was that the stimulus of 2009 wasn't big enough, and I think a lot of us agree that's true. We need a big, bold Eisenhower-era infrastructure plan or Roosevelt-era infrastructure mm-hmm. plan. I was on Up with Steve Kornacki this weekend on MSNBC, and, you know, they were talking about the hashtag liberalism in four words, which was pretty big over the weekend, and, you know, I got quite a bit of heat from the jackal-like child men of Twitchy, because I actually think you can describe liberalism in two words, prematurely mainstream. But you know what, if you want four, I'll give you four words for liberals, Jesus, Lincoln, MLK, Springsteen.
Yep.
But, you know, it's like... liberals need to start telling Republicans that I'm an Eisenhower Republican. If you look at the 1956 Republican platform, it's all about labor. It's all about infrastructure. It's all about spending money by the government to create jobs and make the economy stronger. The Interstate Highway Plan,
yep.
an incredible taxation rate that no one wants to go back to. Over 90% on the wealthiest Americans. When they say how JFK fought to cut taxes for the rich, yeah, he did, from 90% to 70%. We're at 39% now. It's ridiculous. And so, you know, I like to say that I'm not a liberal, I'm an Eisenhower Republican, because Ike would be primary in their party today.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right, John Fugelsang is with us. Give us a call at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. Steph is under the weather today. She had the flu yesterday, and it got a lot worse all day yesterday. So Jim and I and John is filling in.
We'll be hearing from Rick Overton.
Rick Overton is going to be calling in and helping us out a little bit too. And we will appreciate your calls at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. We'll be right back here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Will? We may have lost John temporarily because I pressed the wrong button.
Well,
but. Hopefully he'll.
We're still getting used to this new studio, yeah. So apologize for that. It's the Stephanie Miller Show, 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. And I believe we have a call on our regular line.
Yes, we do.
So go ahead and answer that. Yeah, there you go.
Hey,
it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi, this is Cindy from Michigan.
Hey, Cindy. What's
Hi.
Up?
Hi. And you guys and John, although he's not there right now, but he was talking about unemployment.
Yep.
Thanks. Said Jim, I think it was. Maybe it was Chris that pushed the wrong button.
Oh, no, that was Jim.
But he was talking about unemployment. And, you know, the Republicans, this is the thing that really gets me. they want it both ways. Barack Obama is such a horrible president. He has not created enough jobs. But there are enough jobs to go around, and all these lazy people want to sit around and get unemployment. And that tells me that that's their true colors. They have completely shown their contempt for anyone who's in a different position than they are or their friends. And I would assume or hope that people on unemployment, and there are millions of people
right.
on unemployment
right.
for various reasons, they need to inform the representatives, first of all, that talk the way they do. They need to inform them, these are the hoops I have to go through just to get that check, just to be eligible. They have to be out finding a job. They have to file every week. They have to do a lot of things and show up in a lot of places. And right now, where I'm living, we in Michigan, we're under like an order not to go out of our homes because of the weather. You know, don't be out on the streets, don't mm-hmm. be driving around. Well, there's a lot of people that they're supposed to show up at these offices at a certain time. So now, are they going to lose their eligibility because they were not allowed to be out because of the weather? There's a lot of things that go on that these reps don't have any idea.
Mm-hmm.
And Rand Paul, of all people, making statements that, you know, that basically what they're saying is these people are all lazy. And you can hear it in their voice, the contempt that they have for people that are behind the eight ball. And they come right out. Somebody on CNN just came right out and said to Rand Paul in the interview, well, most economists will agree that unemployment insurance is actually good for the economy. And then he bypassed that, tried to make it sound like, well, it's only good for the economy in these certain circumstances at this certain time. And wouldn't even admit that that's money that's flowing back out into the economy so people can pay bills and go out to a restaurant once in a while and pass that money on to other workers. So, I don't know. The whole argument is crazy.
Yeah.
They want it both ways.
It's basic economics, multiplier effect.
Spend right.
money on businesses, they can hire more people
right.
who in turn can spend money. And
but we're not guaranteed of that anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, they may just hoard their money and send it off to the Cayman Islands, where it does
yes,
the United States
exactly.
no good because we can't tax it.
The rich, but I'm talking about middle class.
Well, this is why the Republicans are kind of dumb in this argument, because if they were smart and really truly strategic, and here I am giving them suggestions, but they would say, yes, Barack Obama is horrible at having jobs, making jobs. And we support you, you workers, you poor victims of his incompetence, you know, that we're going to make sure that you get your unemployment. But they're not doing that. So they either believe that Barack Obama is a good president and has been creating jobs, and these people are just lazy. I think there's something going on underneath their thinking that's just purely ugly. It's just ugly and cynical. And they do look at people on unemployment as just, you know, lazy.
Substandard, lazy, not contributing to society.
Not trying
yeah.
hard enough.
Yeah.
And
when in most cases it couldn't be further from the truth. Who enjoys being on unemployment?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody.
No. And a friend of mine who has a business, She took great offense. She said that a bunch of guys came in, and I have a number of customers, and they were laughing and joking about, well, I'm on unemployment. I don't have to go out and work right now. Ha ha ha. And she was very offended, and I said, well, those are guys. What guy is going to say that he's proud to be unemployed? He's going to make a joke out of it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So sometimes when people say things like that and we hear that, we go, see, they're lazy.
Yep, exactly. All right, we're going to take a little break here. Be back with John Fugelsang. Steph is out sick today, so you have Jim and Chris filling in right here on the Stephanie Miller Show on Free Speech TV and other places. So stay tuned.
Hold on a minute, don't disguise
Stephanie Miller.
Alcohol dependence is a ticket to self-realization.
That's not what happened yesterday. She actually had the flu really, really, really bad. So Stephanie isn't here today, so you got Jim and me in the brand new studios and on right here on Free Speech TV. Hello, Free Speech TV. Everybody who's watching on their Roku.
Roku.
Or on Free Speech TV on DirecTV and Dish Network and on other cable systems across the country. And hello to everybody who's listening on regular radio.
Wow.
Radio,
still had that?
Yes, radio stations across the United States and on Sirius XM and on Stepcast and various other places.
So you have no excuse.
You have no excuse not to listen to the Stephanie Miller Show.
You will listen, or else.
Yes. Yes. All right, and helping us out, we do have John Fugelsang in the New York, well, not in the New York Bureau. He's probably at home. Are you at home?
Probably in a snowdrift somewhere.
Are you at home today, John?
I am in fact at home.
Okay.
Great to join you, Mook.
Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it because we need a lot of help.
Hey, listen, this is Trey Riddell's week to return to Congress. It's just one big party nationwide.
Oh, that's right. He's the guy that was caught buying cocaine or something like that?
Yes, he's the hip-hop conservative,
yes.
as he calls himself, which means I guess he should have been with Lil Wayne buying Slizerp. But yes, he of course, went away. Now, if you were buying cocaine in Trey's home state of Florida, you'd go away for 20 years for having that cocaine under the mandatory minimum sentencing laws. But Trey did not buy his cocaine there, so he gets to go to rehab in Naples, which I respect. My parents had a condo in Naples once. I'd need a bump once in a while. And now he returns to Congress this week after his little rehab stint. He, of course, began his career in conservative radio in Florida and then became a Tea Party darling. And I can understand after voting 46 times to repeal a health care law why you'd want to party a bit. But it's going to be very interesting seeing how the GP reacts to his return. You've heard of a lot of Republicans who want to challenge him. Even Connie Mack has suggested he might run for the House again to take that seat. So it's going to be an interesting little civil war in Florida, but I predict Congressman Trey will return and just keep his head down and be very quiet for the rest of
maybe
the year.
Maybe Rob Ford will run for his position.
But maybe
I would love. That's how boring Canadian politics are. They're one interesting guy has to come here.
Exactly. But Republicans always bend over backwards trying to make excuses for the hypocrites in their own party.
Mm-hmm. Well, they do. I don't see them doing it for this guy, though. I don't see them kicking him out, you know, the way the Democrats have done time and time again.
I mean,
you know, Anthony Weiner was kicked out right away, but David Vitter is still there in Congress. In the Senate, if Anthony Weiner just had a mistress or brought a diaper fetish to the D.C. madam or justified torture for some guy, he'd still have a job, too. The hypocrisy is pretty deep. But, you know, this guy, he's very, very comical. He's the one, of course, who you know, loves Public Enemy. That's his favorite group. But he ignores the lyrics, like Chris Christie with Springsteen.
Well, he takes bits and pieces of Public Enemy songs and tries to make a conservative case with
them. Yes, because Fight the Power is about the capital gains tax. I didn't know that when I first heard it.
Right.
You know, he's like a lot of conservatives in the Bible. You know, they just pick the bits and pieces that they like to try and...
Das Kapital, Mein Kampf, same book.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because 3,281 prisoners in America are serving life sentences with no chance of parole for nonviolent crimes. And to Trey Riddell's credit, he is opposed to mandatory minimum sentencing laws, so it'd be nice to see him use this humiliating, humbling experience to really turn him into an activist against these draconian Les Mis drug laws. I'd like to see him stay in office and let Jim Roach run against him next year and beat him up.
Jim Roach.
Pardon?
Jim Roach, drug laws.
very funny.
You see what I did there. Oh, God. Speaking of drug laws.
He changed it from reefer.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think of what's going on in Colorado? They're running out of pot there because it's so popular.
Well, in some parts they are. In some parts they've got tons and tons. They really overprepared in many cases. You know, I think it's great. I mean, you don't have to like pot to know that it's not right to throw people in cages for smoking a flower that grew here naturally long, long, long before white people ever showed up.
Right.
And it's interesting. If you get a chance, try to read David Brooks' hilarious anti-pot column. where he talks about how everyone's been piling on it for a week, but it's so funny. He talks about how he enjoyed pot as a kid, and it never got him in trouble.
Once at a party.
Oh yeah, well he smoked it quite a bit apparently in school, but then he said he once smoked it on lunch break before a presentation and had a terrible time presenting in high school for his English class. And I'm like, so wait a second, you weren't a responsible teen pothead, and that means consenting adults should be thrown in jail?
Yeah.
He talks about how everyone who smokes pot feels like a loser. He says, we had a vague sense that smoking weed was not exactly something you were proud of. David Brooks, when Paul McCartney hears Sgt. Pepper's Side 2, he's proud of himself.
Yes.
Just trust me on that. He says pot is not something people admire, like drinking. And he says we have a couple of states, Colorado and Washington, that have gone into the business of effectively encouraging drug use. And that's the language we're going to be hearing as more states try to decriminalize cannabis. They're encouraging drug use. Beer commercials encourage drug use.
Right.
What these states have done is they've gone out of the business of putting people in jail for something David Brooks got away with.
Right. Mm-hmm. And states like Virginia, who have ABC stores, you can only get your liquor from the state. They're in the business of drug dealing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. How many mood-altering drug commercials do you see during the commercial breaks between the Viagra commercials of your favorite news channel?
Right.
You know, and David Brooks is trying to say that this will lead to a lot more pot smoking. Which I wouldn't mind if it was in the U.S. Congress, but he says by making weed legal, they're creating a situation in which the price will drop substantially. Yeah, because we've seen so many other prices gone down in the last few years due to competition. You know, they are enhancing individual freedom, and someone else smoking weed because they like that more than alcohol isn't going to stop you from being a better person. If you change the word weed to alcohol in the David Brooks column, it reads like dialogue from Boardwalk Empire.
Uh-huh.
The same exact arguments we had 100 years ago.
Yep.
And so I think Colorado, you know, will there be problems? Sure, it'll be like rolling down the new healthcare law. You'll have some loser who smokes too much and drives his car into a shrubbery. I have no doubt it's going to happen.
But you have losers who drink too much and drive their cars into shrubbery every day in Colorado.
You're exactly right, Chris. Washington grew hemp. Thomas Jefferson grew it. I once went to an exhibition of George Washington's artifacts at the Huntington in L.A., and they showed his surveyor's diary where he had it open to the page where he talked about how he got to the hemp plant too late to separate the males from the females. Now, I have friends who've grown this stuff, and they've explained to me that if the males are too close to the females, the female plant is where all the cannabis comes from. The male plants grow these big balls on them, and they pop and pollinate the female plants. It's complicated stuff.
Yeah.
Washington was concerned because there wouldn't be a smokable top part of the plant. Cannabis was used as a painkiller back in colonial days, and back then the biggest drug problem was the same as today. That's alcohol.
Yep.
Colorado was just making it a bit harder for prison, the prison industrial complex, because, you know, those poor white and black guys aren't going to lock themselves up.
And you know what? They're generating revenue from it.
Uh-huh.
And regulating it.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen. You know, it's good for taxes. And again, it's a question of liberty. How are you going to stand there and say that you're a conservative who believes in freedom and then throw someone in a cage for smoking a flower?
And has legitimate medicinal properties.
It certainly does. It certainly does. And I'm not saying people should go out there and smoke weed at all. But I'm saying that we should stop putting people in prison for doing the same stuff that loads and loads and loads of conservatives already do. And I think that the real heroes here will be the conservatives, because they're the ones who can get some movement. As more and more Republicans come out and say the drug war is wrong, you'll see some change happening.
And if you see
the Democrats are too afraid to.
You see all the side effects from the pharmaceutical industry that are worse than the disease you're trying to treat. Pot seems pretty benign.
It's extremely benign, which is why Big Pharma will do anything they can to get rid of it.
Exactly.
And don't forget, you know, pot was made illegal back in the 1930s. When it was finally made illegal, again, after being legal for hundreds of years, you could pay your taxes in hemp for over 200 years. That's where we get the expression joint return. When they finally made it illegal, the American Medical Association went on the record objecting to banning it because they knew of its health properties.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we call it marijuana is that William Randolph Hearst was threatened by hemp paper for his paper mills, and so was DuPont Chemical. So they began using the Mexican slang term for cannabis to capitalize on racism. You know,
I did not know that. The entire
drug war is steeped in racism. It all began taxing smokable Chinese opium in San Francisco back in 76 because white people drank it or ate it, but the Chinese smoked it, so they taxed that kind. You know, this is about justice. It's about liberty. People shouldn't go out and start smoking pot and eating a lot of Cheetos and watching bad TV. But we as a society have to come together and say that pot is not a problem, and you can count every marijuana death on one hand because it won't kill you.
Probably more Cheeto deaths than marijuana.
Exactly right. And that's why I think Taco Bell is actually behind the whole anti-drug war lobbying, because they're going to really benefit. That's where the jobs are, trust me.
Absolutely. Have you seen that stuffed nacho that they have now?
Oh, yeah. They should just call that buy, you know?
Oh, God. Absolutely. Let's see. What do we got? Actually, let's take a break here. Jim is going to attempt to put you on hold, John. And can we keep going for another second?
Jim hung up on me last time he did that.
Well, it's the first time he's used the phone lines, and I don't have a phone line over here, so I can't control it. So
that's right, ladies. Jim Ward can't find the right button.
Yes. Use the top button, Jim. And before that, we're just going to take a little break here. So let's... Give us a call at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. This is the Stephanie Miller Show on Free Speech TV at freespeech.org. Jim and Chris filling in. We'll be right back.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show, and Stephanie is not here. She felt very, very, very ill after the show yesterday, and so she is upstairs in bed. While Jim and I do the show, this is Chris Lavoie, that is Jim Ward, and we've got John Fugelsang on the phone. Give us a call at 1-800-STEPH-12, that's 1-800-STEPH-12, and we are now streaming live on Free Speech TV.
What?
And on the Free Speech TV app on Roku, and...
Roku.
At freespeech.org. So tune us in and tell us how we're doing.
or not.
Rather you not. So let's punch up John again.
All right. Punch up John.
Yes,
punch
can you do
John.
That? Can you do
punch.
That? All right.
Bam.
Hey, John.
Bam.
Hi, thanks for punching.
Right hook.
Bam. Whammo.
You knocked my block off.
How is it working in your new studio?
It's good, you know.
It's a bit of a learning curve.
It is a bit of a learning curve, you know, because I ran the board and everything else over at the other place for, you know, 8 years. And so everything became second nature. And so now I'm kind of having to learn where everything is again, and I have to actually concentrate on that part of the job where I haven't had to do that in a while. So I'm getting used to that.
That's awesome. Is it awkward having Stephanie's groupies walk through your recording studio on their way out of the house?
Right. Yes.
Maybe you should start to leave until around 9 a.m. your time, though, I would imagine.
Yeah, that's true. And it is a little bit awkward when her household staff starts to, like, raise the garage door
yeah.
While we're still on the air.
I had no idea. That's kind of brilliant.
Yeah. It's right next door. The garage is right next door to the studio. So you know.
And how do folks watch you online?
Oh, freespeech.org. That's freespeech.org.
Fantastic. I'll be tuning in.
Yeah. We're kind of Obama carrying the servers right now.
That's what I heard. You guys are a bit more popular than our friends at Free Speech were ready for.
Well, they're very, very happy about it. They've been waiting for that to happen to their servers, and we made it happen. So.
Oh, right on. Well, it's great to have you guys back on TV again.
It's great to be on TV. It's great to be on TV. So, let's see. What else is there? Oh, things are starting to heat up in Iraq. Have you seen that, John?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate. It's hilarious seeing people blaming Obama for this as well. But you know, we broke it, and now we didn't buy it. So I hope that it's not going to get worse. But again, you know, the big concern is was always that Iran would invade and create the Islamic State of Iraq.
Yeah.
Now it turns out that there was no Al Qaeda before we invaded, but they're now.
Now there is, and they're invading Fallujah right now as we speak. I believe that's it.
Yes. And mass graves have also been uncovered in Fallujah. So it'll be interesting to see what news comes out and how much that news is covered by American news.
As bad as Saddam Hussein was, I think Al-Qaeda is a bit worse.
Well, you know, Saddam Hussein was in power because he was the military thug. He wasn't a religious kook, and that's why Ronald Reagan thought he could do business with him.
Right.
That's why you have that famous video of Don Rumsfeld shaking his hand, and that's why after he gassed his own people... who weren't his own people. They were the Kurds. Most Americans understand that. But after that happened and the Democrats in the late 80s wanted to classify him as a terrorist, the Reagan White House would not do it. And we continued to arm him up until the time that he wanted to invade Kuwait. And the U.S. Ambassador April Glaspie said America had no opinion in their border dispute.
Exactly.
And as soon as he invaded, on our say-so, we had an opinion. So I like to say that we didn't really overthrow Saddam Hussein. We fired him. It just took him 12 years to clean out his desk.
Right.
And so. Now we're all paying the price for it. We're paying the price for pumping that guy up and making him powerful. Don't ever forget, when y'all see Oliver North on Sean Hannity, we armed both sides of the Iran-Iraq war.
Yep.
Think about the moral implications of that.
Don't get me started.
There are no moral implications. There are financial ones.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Exactly. But think about that the next time you hear Sean Hannity, you know, greasing up his nose for the insertion into Oliver North, talking about Obama being soft on terror. I mean, all these problems right now are preventable. Just like the problems in Iran would have been preventable if we hadn't overthrown their democracy in 1953.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't make it any better to know the history, but it makes you less dumb when you're debating your, you know, right-wing uncle at the dinner table.
And if you remember the history, it makes you less apt to repeat it.
Well, that would be the trick, but, you know, the funny thing about greed and profit, it makes humans make the same mistakes.
It gives you amnesia. Imagine that.
It really does. So I hope that, you know, that we won't see more bloodshed there. God knows they've suffered long enough, and many folks will tell you, Jim, that women had it much better under Saddam Hussein than they do now. A lot of women are afraid to leave the house now.
Right, right.
Back when it was, you know, the secular thug running the country, you didn't have the crazy fundamentalist religious people doing it, and that makes quite a difference.
There was a sizable Christian community in Baghdad back then. You went to the Christians if you wanted to buy liquor in Iraq.
I did not know that. Yep. Yeah, there's a sizable Christian community throughout the entire Middle East, and we all know how you know, persecuted they are in various countries. And, you know, I want to see America be a force for good, not a force for pillage. Dick Cheney's company paid Dick $33 million when he left to go be vice president, and they wound up taking almost $40 billion of your tax dollars to rebuild Iraq. Yep. And now we're being told that we can't afford to rebuild America because we had no problems affording to rebuild Iraq.
It's insane. John Kerry had this to say about Iraq yesterday. Oh, still getting used to this. Okay.
This is a fight that belongs to the Iraqis. That is exactly what the president and the world decided some time ago when we left Iraq. So we are not obviously contemplating returning. We're not contemplating putting boots on the ground.
Well, that's good.
It's their battle, and that's the same thing JFK said about Vietnam before. Someone else got the wheel there.
Yeah.
Obviously, we grieve for the suffering and for the killed, and I'd like to see a change. I don't know if it will. These are not easy topics, and, you know, should America be the world's policeman? I don't know. Should we stop suffering and bloodshed if we have a chance to do it? Well, we don't care about it in Africa too much. When there's oil involved, we get pretty concerned.
Yeah.
Getting back to President Kennedy briefly, he signed the National Security Action Memorandum 263, basically calling off Vietnam and putting an end to that. 4 days after he was killed, the body was barely cold yet, LBJ did NSAM 273, reversing the whole thing and doubling down in Vietnam and making a lot of his oil buddies rich.
Well, war is money, and you know, go read Smedley Butler when you get confused, because he makes you unconfused. War is a racket.
What did he write?
It's called War is a Racket
war is
by
a
General
racket.
Smedley Butler.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Essentially, and you know, it's all about money, and your economy goes in the toilet, and you got to have a war. We've seen it time and time again, and I'm happy that at least for a generation or so, the American people seem to be sick of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But don't ever forget the people, the 100 million Americans who opposed Iraq. They're allowed to complain about this economy.
Absolutely.
The ones who didn't oppose and who couldn't wait to invade Iraq, well, you know what? You don't get to complain about deficits if you supported that war.
Yeah. And also, remember those checks that we got from George W. Bush before the war? Those did a lot of damage to the economy as well.
Yeah, boy, that really greased the skids, you know. And so, I mean, look, we'd like to see Barack Obama do more. Yeah, I mean, you know, the tax increase, the American people voted for Barack Obama to increase taxes on wealthy Americans twice. And when they finally did it a year ago, what was the big change? Well, they made 80% of the Bush tax cuts permanent.
Yes.
And now in America, and ask this of all your right-wing friends, a married couple that makes $450,000 a year is paying the same tax rate as a single guy who makes $2 billion a year. There's no difference in the percentage of that they pay. And that's not conservative, and it doesn't help America. And the real scandal is in terms of our income inequality is the tax code. That's from 450,000 up, it's all treated the same. And the 0.001% is very different than the 1%.
Yep. Kind of a mess.
On the lighter side, President Obama released his favorite TV shows.
What are they?
Have you heard about this? It's fantastic. He came out, he actually said, you're going to love this. Obama came out and said his favorite TV shows, he's getting into Breaking Bad right now.
Okay.
And he's deep into Breaking Bad. He loves House of Cards. He loves Downton Abbey.
Huh.
He loves The Wire. That's his favorite TV show of all time.
Right.
He loves Homeland. And I was reading the list, and I'm like, oh, my God, according to OkCupid, Barack Obama is my perfect romantic match.
Well, John, we have to take a break now, but we'll be right back here on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, this is The Stephanie Miller Show, and as you can tell, this isn't Stephanie Miller.
Yeah.
It's Jim Ward and Chris Lavoie. We are filling in for Stephanie because the flu that she had yesterday got a lot worse.
Yes, and fortunately, Typhoid Mary left lots of articles of clothing lying around here, so we could all get sick, too.
So we could all get smallpox. Thanks, Mary.
Thanks, Columbus.
Exactly.
So, blankets.
So it's just Jim and me and a few special guests here on the phone.
Including?
Give us a call, 1-800-STEP-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. And also, you can watch us now on Free Speech TV.
Whoa.
This is our second day on Free Speech TV. You can watch it on Dish Network and DirecTV. Check your local listings for that. You can see us on various cable access channels across the country. You can stream us on your Roku box.
Roku.
And you can watch us on freespeech.org.
Hmm.
Just click play in the little video box that's right there, front and center at freespeech.org.
Wow, that sounds complicated. No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. See, even your mom could do that.
I bet you could.
Yes, you said you're going to get a Roku box.
That's something you can do that. And having someone set it up that actually knows what he's doing.
So. All you basically need is a Wi-Fi, a high-speed Wi-Fi connection.
Uh-huh.
Or, no, there's some that you can even just
plug in.
Plug in.
Wow.
And an HDMI output to your TV.
Hey. Cool.
So there you go. It's easy.
It's that easy.
And then you go into the, I guess there's a, I don't have Roku, so, but you go into the Roku store and you just get the Free Speech TV channel and you just put it on your Roku box and you can tune to it at any time you want.
Cool.
And not only get us, but you can get great shows like Democracy Now! And Tom Hartman and various other shows. So. Good on them.
All righty.
All right. And we thank everybody for calling in at 1-800-STEP-12. And right now we have a special guest on the line. Rick Overton is calling in. Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Good morning. Oh. Happy 2014.
Happy 2014 to you as well.
Rick's not used to getting up this early in the morning.
And we appreciate you getting up this early. at least we didn't ask you to drive
when
down
you're
here.
When you're filming, it's like get up pretty early for the daylight, you know, so I can adjust.
Yes. Good. Well, we appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, I adjust the hot, the cold. I was just out in Aurora, Illinois, working a New Year's comedy gig. Oh, man.
Oh, yikes.
They're going through it out there. I tell you, I feel bad for all those folks. You know, the heating bill's going to be monster this year.
Exactly. And you know what? I think the TV stations can now stop showing them throwing water into the air and it freezing before it hits the ground. We've seen that. Thanks.
Yeah. A bunch of them had the wind blow back and just scalded them.
Yeah, I saw that this morning.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, why don't you watch the video of someone else doing it?
Yeah.
That's the 21st century. Experience or watch video of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it's so interesting to see that, you know, well, I guess global warming now isn't true because the winter was cold. But here's the thing they're leaving out. The thing is that the reason there's all this extra precipitation and weather shifting is there's a lot more water up in the air
exactly.
than it used to be there because it used to be frozen at north and south of Earth.
Yeah. So we're getting more violent weather systems all year round.
Yeah, it's where it has to go somewhere, so it just attacks landmass, you know?
Oh, God.
Yeah, polar vortex coming south.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in the winter it'll get cold, but it used to be the coldest places were north and south, and you could leak the frozen water there. But now it's free. They let the monster out.
Mm. Wow.
So that's the issue, you know. I mean, I don't mean to bring everybody down, but that's what this really is. And that even though it's really cold, you're going to watch. We're going to have record everything. Mm. There'll be record cold. There's going to be record heat in the summer now. We already have record after record after record of temperatures going up. So, right. You know, it's just that it doesn't mean that we'll call it climate change. But it's still based on global warming, based specifically on north and south of Earth.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Good thing the Pacific Ocean isn't contaminated with radiation. Oh, wait, it is.
Yeah, man, you got to watch that bluefin tuna now, and I was a huge fan of that. And now we got to get steps to not eat any more of that raw tuna around here.
Yeah, I don't know that she's going to stop that until she gets radiation poisoning.
And Alaskan salmon is also, pretty much gone.
Oh, right, Alaskan salmon, too. Yeah, it's sort of drifting up a bit north of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they also had about dead squid on Santa Cruz and dead sardines everywhere, including Redondo Beach.
Florida, if you run a drone sub down to the bottom with a camera, like the kind that found the Titanic, you're going to find the floor of the ocean on the Pacific is just littered with dead stuff.
Uh-huh.
And you see the dead stuff because there's nothing eating it, because the stuff that would eat it is dead, too.
Yeah. Mm. And bald eagles apparently are dropping like flies as well, because they eat the fish.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh. Right. Pluck them from the water and they eat it, right?
Yeah.
Man. So that would be, what could be more American than that, you know?
Exactly. Oh, well, now that we brought the house down.
No, I'm just feeding the news here. I'm just
fun comedy.
Oh, yeah. Okay, on to jokes now.
Jim, go ahead.
I brought in something from the New York Times opinion pages. This is from Bob. January 2nd of this year on Edward Snowden, the whistleblower, and it's got some very interesting stuff in here, and stuff that Stephanie's not going to be happy about, I don't think. It says, considering the enormous value of the information he has revealed and the abuses he has exposed, Mr. Snowden deserves better than a life of permanent exile, fear, and flight. He may have committed a crime to do so, but he has done his country a great service. It is time for the United States to offer Mr. Snowden a plea bargain or some form of clemency that would allow him to return home. Face at least substantially reduced punishment in light of his role as a whistleblower. It goes on to list all the various things the NSA has done that are really horrible, including undermining the basic encryption systems of the Internet, making it impossible to know if sensitive banking or medical data is truly private, damaging businesses that depended on this trust. And it ends with the shrill brigade of his critics who say Mr. Snowden has done profound damage to the intelligence operations in the United States. But none has presented the slightest proof that his disclosures really hurt the nation's security. Many of the mass collection programs Mr. Snowden exposed would work just as well if they were reduced in scope and brought under strict outside oversight, as the presidential panel recommended. So it's basically what I've been saying about this whole affair, Snowden, that I've yet to see anything that he revealed that has really been damaging to national security. Some of the things the NSA have done are extremely dangerous. Anyway, that's my take on it, and it's the take of the opinion pages of the New York Times from, as I say, January 2nd of this year.
You can really look at it in terms of basic elemental power held in hand,
mm-hmm.
and he must hold some enormous amount of power to be getting all these offers as opposed to just a laser dot or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
For him to have everybody bending and twisting this way and that is often an indicator of what's really, you know, what he really holds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The fact that he is, that there's so much, a lot of times the attention paid to a thing is the indicator of the importance of a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's a lot of, he's getting a lot of attention and a lot of rules are bending and breaking just to sort of figure out how to work with him. It was a gut punch, a sucker punch in a way. I don't think a lot of people saw that one coming.
Mm-hmm. Including the NSA, even though they should have.
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
Of all people, the NSA should have seen that coming.
We're watching the right wing basically continually split off and split off now into subgroup and subgroup, which tells you that everyone's disillusioned with the core elemental message of it. it's falling apart. It's like watching Germany at the end of World War II. Now they don't have Russia as an ally. They don't have Italy anymore. And now the Pope comes in and he branches off another whole group of people that aren't really going right anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They're falling apart. It's everything they're doing is their desperate, panic, clawing move to try and hold above water.
Mm-hmm.
And they're grabbing any piece of driftwood that goes by. But we're watching the Martian walkers fall right now, all on their own.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I hope you're right.
This is the good news. They are disintegrating. Mm. They're all going crazy. They're all being caught in their lie. And they're falling apart.
Will things change because of it, do you think?
I think they are changing.
Okay.
And that they've already changed. I think we're in mid-change. We've watched so many things break and fall apart. Now, you were talking before about marijuana being legalized. That's going to be an enormous domino effect.
Mm-hmm.
State by state, the states that do monetarily better will be so much of an example for the states that are doing poorly that they're going to rethink everything because money is going to trump everything and they'll want the money from that gross product. And so I think state after state is going to fall to that, and that's going to change mine.
Do you ever think we'll ever get rid of Citizens United or corporations, Uber Alles, as I call it?
At some point, nothing lasts forever.
Mm-hmm.
Liberal didn't last forever. The Kennedy era didn't last forever. Their turn is just about up.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it goes on a sort of cosmic clock of 30 to 40 year cycles. And yes, there's an elemental group behind it, but I think before, in the Vietnam era, we were dealing with the symptom.
Right.
We were just addressing the pimple. We weren't addressing the diet. And this time we're addressing the diet. The diet is the corporate money behind everything.
Right. Yeah, we're basically in corporate fascist national security state right now, and hopefully that's going to change.
Whoever has the most money has the most voice, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the worst thing that could have happened to them already did. Exposure of that fact. That's mm-hmm. the part they are continually trying to send, clowns and jugglers out there to distract the children away from what's going on.
Right.
From the set change. And the set is changing.
Yeah. And, James Clapper, Director of National Intelligence, obviously lied to Congress when testifying in March that the NSA was not collecting data on millions of Americans. And there's been no discussion of punishment for that lie. So, going
right.
after that,
right.
you would think there would be some consequences for lying under oath.
Yeah, right. Well, they do try to reinforce the affluenza message to others that look how you're protected. That, I think the affluenza kid was just, it's a fine example of the momentary fad of saying right now, as long as you have enough money, you can do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And there have been points in history when people thought they could do it and suddenly someone very wealthy went away and it didn't work. And it's just right now they're pushing to try and show it. But the fact that they're making, that was a horrible mistake letting the affluenza kid. They should have thrown him in the furnace. It didn't matter. But now if that's pointed out how the problem really is,
yeah.
it backfires.
That was
because the basic knowledge of who they are and what they do is out now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And that changes how, on all their desperate trips to try and change perspective about it, they don't work correctly anymore. Evil isn't working right anymore. It's like they bought everything from Acme and the Roadrunner cartoon. They're
right.
Fluffing up in their own face. They're going off the cliff.
And also, getting back to the marijuana thing, it's been reporting this on MSNBC constantly, how if you're black and get caught with marijuana, you are four times more likely to be prosecuted than if you're white.
Right. This will affect the private prison industry on a massive uh-huh. scale. It will affect the alcohol industry on a gargantuan scale.
Mm-hmm.
It will affect tobacco, which is already a dying thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely.
And watching that, and I think that the cessation from tobacco has terrified alcohol and pharmaceutical
right.
companies. They have to really, really redouble efforts to hold their relevance because it's all sliding like an avalanche now. They're all letting go off the side of the mountain and going down.
Right. Speaking of letting go, falling off the mountain, we got to take a break.
Yeah. But Rick, thank you so much for
yeah.
calling in this morning and helping us out.
Can you come
sure.
back later at some point? If we
what time would you like me back?
Oh, maybe at the top of next hour?
Ring me up.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Ring me up.
Sounds
and
good.
We'll go again, my brother.
All we righty. Will do that. All right. Talk to
tell
you.
Tell Steph I say, Smithle V. Wells.
Indeed we will. Rick, we will talk to you at the top of next hour. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. You are listening to Jim and Chris because Steph is out sick today.
Well, she's in sick. Basically.
She is in sick. She's upstairs
in the,
right now.
Emphysema yeah. ward.
Exactly. In the emphysema wing of the Stephanie Miller newscast. But
complex.
Yes, but you can watch us here on Free Speech TV and at freespeech.org and listen to us all kinds of ways. Give us a call at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. We will be taking your calls next right here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun. It's healthy. It's good exercise. The kids just love it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
From the Pointer Sisters slutty period.
Yeah.
It's the Stephanie Sam. Miller Show. This is not Stephanie Miller. This is Jim Ward and Chris Lavoie. Steph got really, really sick after the show today. You know, she was sick during the show yesterday, but she wanted to stick around for Chris Cluey. But then she really, really went downhill yesterday, and she's upstairs in bed right now getting some needed rest. So Jim and I are filling in. Give us a call at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. You can also watch us on Free Speech TV and at freespeech.org.
Hello.
Waving to the camera right now. So, Jim, who do we have?
We have Howard from Miami.
He's giving us a call at 1-800-STEPH-12. Howard, you're on the air. What's up?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
That was a very interesting conversation. Listening to all the things that are going on, really, it's scary. You know, the first thought I had in my mind was whether the bologna I'm buying at the store is contaminated too.
Yeah, we don't know.
Who knows?
The thing that there are many things that disturb me. One of the things is that the media, both useless and controllable, they're controlled by the Republicans because the Democrats don't know what the hell they're doing. And what the Republicans do is, I picture the media as a hamster in one of those little wheels that keeps running around. And that's the media. And as soon as the media starts focusing on something important, the Republicans have a hearing on Benghazi. They have a hearing on the IRS scandal. Well, they do something else to divert the media.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a perfect example. In Miami, the Miami Herald had an article on the front page. This is front page news. That Haiti and the Dominican Republic are in a dispute over chickens. Mm-hmm. That's front page news in Miami. They didn't have on August 1st, they didn't have a mention of the fact that eight new preventative health care measures were going into effect under Obamacare, and they didn't mention that $1.1 billion were funded by the insurance company. So they don't talk about and they don't provide the information that needs to be provided. And I think the most important thing that needs to be provided is that the Republican Party has a long-term plan to permanently control the country. Now, that may sound paranoid, but you know, they won the 2010 election using the red map strategy, if you're familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
And Citizens United, five Republicans,
right,
said they can use all the money they won. They used that money. They got control of all the states, Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Indiana, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
They gerrymandered it so they'll keep control of the states.
Mm-hmm.
Control of the states is control of the U.S. Congress. They tried to pass legislation in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, change the way electoral vote is allocated.
Right.
And the only thing they have left to do is to get control of the Senate. That's statewide. They can't gerrymander that. That's voter suppression. That's what voter suppression is
exactly
all about. And the Brennan Center said that there has never been a larger disparity than 5 million votes between any presidential election winner and loser. And they just got rid of 1.4 million in Texas.
Yeah. Well, you know, all this goes back to Citizens United, or Corporations Ciudadanas, as I call it, mm-hmm, where corporate profits are now more important than anything else, like people being able to survive a cold snap or make sure the food isn't contaminated.
I agree, but it's the Republican plan of redistribution,
sure,
of wealth. For instance, when Obama signed the Affordable Care Act, he also signed another piece of legislation that extracted the banks from the student loan program, where they were getting $7 billion a year for showing up and pushing some paper. We got rid of them.
Yep, absolutely. So we're going to take a break here, and we'll come back. We'll talk again to John Fugelsang right here on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Around here,
Stephanie Miller.
The town drunk is a person of great honor.
But we promise that's why she's not here. She had the flu yesterday, and it got steadily worse and worse and worse as the day went on.
Oh, sure, the Irish flu is what she had.
That's what it was. No. So you got Jim Ward and me, Chris Lavoie, here on the Stephanie Miller Show on all kinds of radio stations around the country on Sirius XM and now on Free Speech TV.
Yay.
And at freespeech.org, where you can watch us on the intertubes.
Hello.
Hello. All right, and so we've got sexy liberal John Fugelsang is back with us from the frigid northeast of New York. Hey, John, welcome back.
Back in the saddle.
Greetings to the tundra, gentlemen. Welcome.
Yes. how's your new son dealing
with the COVID? Oh, God, well, he's not that new anymore, and no. It turns out that they're a lot harder to sell in Juarez when they're over 21 months. But, you know, doing okay. It's awkward having a child who shares a birthday with Mitt Romney.
Really?
But he also shares a birthday with Ron Jeremy, so it balances it all out.
Oh, well. Okay.
Yeah, he's great. I mean, I spent the Christmas break down in Asheville, North Carolina, near our friends 880 the Revolution.
Right.
And we had a big family gathering of 20 odd people, including 8 kids, and got back, and right away the kid got sick for a whole week, and now it's too cold to leave the house. So it's a lot of Disney films, and I am available to come to your home and act out all the roles in Toy Story 2 or Tangled.
At least Toy Story 2 was a really good movie.
Yeah, yeah, and Princess and the Frog. My God, I've seen that movie 400 times now, and I'm available to do a Rocky Horror version of it anytime someone wants.
Have you taken the kid to see Frozen?
No, I don't. I'm. It's bad enough I have to take him to onto airplanes. I'm not going to be part of the problem of taking infants into movie theaters.
Oh, come on! You've always wanted to be one of those parents.
Terrible bastard people. You know, I never understood empathy until I was the guy with the baby on the airplane. But no, I do not have to take him to a movie theater. So I think Disney will survive if it doesn't get our money for Frozen.
But you can just look out the window and see Frozen. So that's
exactly right. I'm living in it, and it's crazy here. It's really bad in New York. I mean, the junkies are having to shoot up underneath Snuggies outside. It's really, really sad.
That's terrible.
Ah, it's awful. But it's good to be here with y'all. And before I was just talking briefly about Barack Obama's favorite TV shows before we got off the last break.
Yeah.
And I wanted to point out something very interesting. He lists all of his favorite shows, and they're all pretty heavy dramas, as we mentioned.
Right.
The president goes for that. It's nice to know he's a guy I could have a beer with and watch a 3-hour Arthur Miller play. but he also says he loves Downton Abbey, and he's seen every episode, and that's really important. And we have to remember this. The next time your right-wing Uncle Larry starts saying Obama hates white people, remind him that one of Barack Obama's favorite TV shows is Downton Abbey, and you don't watch that show unless you really, really, really like white people.
I've never seen an episode of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's a good show. I mean, it's an interesting list the president put out, especially when you consider George W. Bush's favorite drama was The Weather Channel. but it's nice to know that the president has good taste.
Yeah.
This may all just be demographic roulette, like every election cycle when they list what's on the president's iPad and his iPod. It's always, you know, Dylan.
What's his favorite candy?
Yeah, exactly. You know, how many demographics can I hit in one listing? but you know, it's nice to know our president has taste, and his favorite show is The Wire. And he loves Omar, because I want Omar to be the White House chief of staff. I want the president to have a guy who can walk into Mitch McConnell's office and just say, does Barack Obama need to smack a fool? So,
By the way,
Obama, because I know you're listening, the cost of 5 drones could pay for a 6th season of The Wire. There's enough characters still living to make it interesting. So think about it.
That's right. If Veronica Mars was successful with their Kickstarter campaign, maybe we could be
exactly.
with the Wire. Who can say? Was there a single comedy on that list?
No, but there was not, but he does watch Modern Family with his family.
Okay.
So he's not completely heavy, you know. So it's kind of nice. We can go over and, you know, listen to some Bob Dylan and then lighten up with some Leonard Cohen at Obama's house.
Yeah, sing a little Hallelujah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and again, if he loves Breaking Bad, that's one of his favorite shows. And if only we'd had single-payer health care, Walter White wouldn't have needed to sell meth. So
right.
It all comes together.
Aww. But then there'd be no show. Well, there is no
show. Well, that's true. That's true. But again, you know, I grew up with, like, George W. H.W. Bush, you know, when I was a kid, George H.W. Bush watching Hee Haw. So it's kind of nice to know that our president is aware of all the good dramas out there.
Was that really his favorite show?
You know, I make a strictly a jest. No, I think
see.
President
okay.
Bush Sr. liked sports and Hee Haw.
I just got achy in my eye when you said that.
Well, hey, I'm half Southern. Down south, my family, we used to watch Hee Haw and then break off into discussion groups. So.
Oh, God. So, John, Janet Yellen got confirmed yesterday.
Yes, Janet Yellen. That's going to be very interesting to see if anything changes at all. But, you know, as expected, the confirmation sailed right through. And we'll see how smart or not Ben Bernanke was in the weeks to come.
Yeah,
without a lot of yelling.
Well, I have some Larry Summers jokes, but they're all kind of derivative.
You see.
It's going to be interesting, and it was a rather, you know, it wasn't an especially long confirmation process. But,
right. And actually,
you know, at this point,
a lot of the senators were out of town. They couldn't get back to D.C. for the confirmation because of the weather.
Indeed. And, you know, this will be, she's the first woman to ever chair the Fed Reserve, and so we know the libertarians hate her already.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll see how it plays out. I don't really know what, at this point, this president could do to improve economy when faced with a GOP that does not want the economy to improve, because they don't, and they've blocked anything he could do that might begin to help slowly churn things. The fact that Wall Street is doing so well proves the lie to all the socialism talk. You know, we've never seen this kind of obstruction before, and I guess it's working for the GOP. I don't know how many more elections they have to lose before they realize that blocking any kind of progress doesn't serve them either. If the GOP and the Democrats could come together and actually do a few things that help the American people, it would help the GOP get more votes back at home. But
yeah.
At this point, it just seems like everyone's in Wall Street's pocket, and that's why when we get our first female president in 2016, I'm hoping her last name is Warren.
Yeah.
That would be great.
That will happen.
I'd be happy with Hillary. I'd be happy with any Democrat, though.
Well, I'd be happy with Hillary if she governs like a Democrat, and I think she will. You know, she does have a rather progressive record in the House. I hear the critiques of our liberal friends who think she's way too tied up with the insurance industry and with Wall Street and the banks, and that's the rap we get on all Democratic presidents. I don't know if that's going to change, but I do know that the GOP is not serious about winning the White House, and it's going to be a really interesting GOP field. There's a couple of guys that I think could beat Mrs. Clinton, and I interviewed Mike Huckabee, gentlemen, 2 weeks ago in New York City before the holiday for the PBS doc I'm doing, and that guy spent a couple of years building up a very successful radio show taking on Rush Limbaugh and then abruptly decided to drop it. It's pretty clear that Mike Huckabee's going to run for president, and he's lost a few pounds. He's a very nice guy, and you know, he learned how to work on camera by being a televangelist.
Right.
So telling people what he thinks they want to hear with a smile comes very easily to him.
Yeah.
I do think that Mike Huckabee and Chris Christie could be the most formidable challengers to Mrs. Clinton. I don't know if either of them has a shot at winning the GOP nomination.
Because Chris Christie, because he's not far right enough, he couldn't win a primary, I don't think.
Yeah, he doesn't hate Muslims enough. He doesn't hate gay people enough. He doesn't hate medical marijuana enough. And Chris Christie, you know, the irony, he's probably their most electable candidate.
Yep.
He's a terrifically charismatic public speaker. Even when you don't like him, you love him. He makes me wake up whenever he's on C-SPAN. But I don't see him getting the nomination.
Ted Cruz,
I think that's completely up for grabs.
Ted Cruz has it in the back, I'm sure.
I'd love to see that happen, and every Democrat I know would love to see that happen.
Yeah.
But don't count Huckabee out. And I think the dark horse candidate for the GOP may wind up being Scott Walker. He's not popular back in his home state, but he's got a rap sheet of telling the GOP what they want to hear, and he could be the guy to come out of the field if everyone bloodies each other enough.
And you know what? Even though you guys probably don't watch it a lot, he's on Fox News a lot. And
a lot.
I see that as campaigning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it completely is. It certainly is. And, you know, I think that he's done a very good job of keeping his propaganda straight and not really he's done a very good job of being immune to the realities of how the state's doing under his governorship. And you know, it's going to be a fascinating field. You'll have Jeb Bush there trying to salvage the family name. You'll have Marco Rubio there not talking about immigration. And you know, and you'll have Rand Paul, who really could pull off the nomination. I think he could do it. I don't think he's electable as president. But
yeah,
from a comedy level, it's going to be a rich time.
You know what? A lot of libertarians don't like Rand Paul.
That's true. Why is that?
Because of his religious views and his views on abortion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he gets into the social conservative weeds too much for a lot of libertarians.
Huh. Yeah, and he's trying to have it both ways. Yeah. You know, I think there are very few senators who speak as eloquently as Rand Paul about how failed the drug war is and how unjust it is. But then you hear about him turning around and telling a bunch of evangelical ministers he doesn't want to decriminalize weed. So he's going to have to come down a bit harder on a few points of view. And I really don't know who they've got. Mrs. Clinton is clearly doing the fundraising right now. Mm-hmm. I would like to see a progressive challenge to Mrs. Clinton just to move the debate more to the left during the Democratic primary season. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody can beat her. I don't think anybody wants to beat her.
No.
But I do think that it's going to be the most expensive presidential race ever, and it's probably going to be the most entertaining.
Yeah. Well, let's hope. All right, so we're going to take a little bit of a break here, but John, can you hang on for the next segment?
I'll be here.
Awesome. All right, so we'll take a little break here. You're listening to the Stephanie Miller Show. Jim and Chris filling in because Steph is upstairs in bed.
Deathly ill.
Yes, trying to get over the horrible, horrible flu that she had yesterday. But we're taking care of you with along with John Kugelsang right here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Give us a call at 1-800-STEPH-12 and look for us at freespeech.org.
I don't know what that means, but I like the sound of it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Well, Steph's not having very much of a good time right now.
She is not.
Quite ill.
Yeah, she's upstairs in bed recuperating. She had the flu during the show yesterday, but it got steadily worse as the day went on. Mm-hmm. And it got really, really worse towards the evening. And so Jim and I are filling in along with John Peoplesang, who is in New York. But right now, let's take a quick call from a listener.
We've got David in San Francisco, my favorite town.
Hey, David.
Hey, morning all. Yeah, I hadn't called in a while. Hey, you know, I heard you talking about the Middle East. I guess that was with Peter saying a little mm-hmm. while back.
Uh-huh.
And what I was mostly interested in, I don't know if you, especially Jim, if you've been keeping up with old Saudi Prince Bandar and the evilness of him. What are we, if I remember right, we've had 4 or 5 bombings in the last, 3 weeks, and then a number back into November. And almost every one of them can be attributed to Saudi Prince Bandar.
Mm.
There's Egypt and Russia and Lebanon and now the Iraqi one that happened. Every one of them can be tied to the Saudi chain to Bandar, who is basically the Saudi Arabian CIA director.
Right.
And this guy is Bandar Bush. This guy mm-hmm. is the guy that got the bin Ladens out of the country right after 9/11.
Right.
Where
that.
Every millionaire in this country couldn't fly, but the bin Ladens were allowed to escape.
Right.
The guy that pulled that off is Saudi Prince Bandar. Mm. So this guy, you know, Bush holding hands with him, them down at the Bush Ranch for all those years, 54 years or something like that. These people are, you know, he's this mass murderer. And it's kind of interesting, you know, you always wonder about the United Nations. If there was like a, you know, comic book villain like Lex Luthor or something mm-hmm. like that, what would the United Nations do with a guy like that? Well, here's Saudi Prince Bandar, and the United Nations better figure out what it's going to do because it's obvious that the United States government is too in league with Bandar to act without... without compromise.
So he won't be hit by a drone anytime soon, I guess.
Well, actually, I wouldn't necessarily put that to, you know, because you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And, you know, this guy, it's interesting. When I started finding out about him in a real way, it was basically last August, mm-hmm. you know, when the gassing in Syria showed up. And there was this newspaper article that said Bandar was the guy that really provided the gas.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, he was trying to trick America into going to war for him.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yes. All right,
as you do. All right, thanks
for the call.
Call, David.
All right, let's go back to John Fugelsang, who is in the frozen tundra of New York. John, are you with us again?
Yeah, sorry, I can't stand hearing negative things about the Saudi royal.
I know, right?
Patriotic.
How's your tauntaun doing?
My dying tauntaun? He's ready to go outside, thank you. He's pretty sick of being cooped up in here. But, you know, this is what we're all going to deal with, right? It's freezing and it's disgusting, and it proves that 97% of the world scientific community is wrong.
Right, obviously.
It's cold right now.
It's cold.
Meanwhile, in Rio, it was over 110 degrees the other day, and right now in Australia, they're getting up to 120 degrees because it's summer over
right,
there.
Right.
So, you know, this is weather, not climate change. It's weather. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is just more for Fox to go on and say that scientists are dumb and don't trust them and believe in talking snakes.
It's snowing, so I can't think global warming. Bye, I hurt her.
Thanks for that great Steve Doocy impression.
those guys. I do want to say that I'll be on, I believe, the Ed Schultz show tomorrow and on the Katie Couric show on Friday.
Sweet.
Which are basically the same exact shows.
Do you know what you're going to be talking about?
No, I do not. Okay. They don't usually tell me until right before I walk in the door.
Okay.
Oh, that's cool. You think you're going to interview McCartney? Yeah, because that'd be awesome.
Well, McCartney's new album's pretty good. It's actually a pretty great record. But that was a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Aw. you were the very last person to interview George Harrison, weren't you?
I was the last person to interview George Harrison on camera.
Okay.
He came in with Ravi Shankar to do a 10-minute soundbite about the Chance of India record, and I was the biggest, most unhinged George Harrison geek in the world, and I couldn't shut up, and I couldn't stop asking about every obscure B-side. Of course, I go to the religion stuff, and I was boring all the crew talking with George about meditation and God and what happens when you die. And then he was diagnosed a few months later.
Wow.
He wound up staying for 4 hours with us, and someone gave him a guitar, and he played four songs he'd never played live before.
Wow.
And then he never performed in public again. And when he died, no one watched the special when it first aired, but then once he was sick, they recut it and put all the spiritual elements back in.
Mm.
And so the day he died, VH1 aired around the clock, George Harrison and this, you know, horrible interviewing 26-year-old kid talking about death and the afterlife and God. And to this day, I still have big, burly guys come up to me and hug me in airports because, you know, it was a bit lofty for VH1.
Oh, wow.
But he was the real deal. And I heard they're going to be releasing another album of his music, of posthumous unreleased tunes, which I hope happens. But in the meantime, Springsteen's still out there, and Bowie's got a good album out now, and McCartney's got a pretty decent album out. So it's nice to know that the old guys are still existing.
I haven't heard any of the new Bowie stuff, but I hear it's just amazing.
It's really good. You know, the reason why you haven't heard any of the new Bowie album is because it's really uncommercial.
Is it?
And, you know, that kind of uncommercial stuff could get played on the radio back in 73, not so much now. But sonically, it will remind you a lot more of 80s Bowie, I think, than 70s Bowie.
Like Ashes to Ashes?
Yeah, kind of like that. A lot of it's really big and bombastic, and a lot of it's very, very personal.
Wow.
It's a challenging album, and it's songs that would be really cool to hear live. I recommend the Bowie album really highly to everyone. But again, it's not a bunch of toe-tapping tunes. It's a really serious record from this guy at age 66. And it's great to know the same year we lose Lou Reed that you've got Dylan and Neil Young and Springsteen and Bowie and McCartney. I'll put him in with those guys.
Yeah.
And Patti Smith, too, still putting out vital music.
That's right.
Hey, Leonard Cohen's touring, and he's 79, man. It's great.
Everybody knows.
I know. One of these days I'll see a concert by someone who's under the age of 60. But I'll be your classic rock nerd of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Okay. I have a bone to pick with you. We just got out of the Christmas season, and so I had my, holiday playlist going on my iPod quite often. And every once in a while, one of those covers comes up with Bob Dylan. Oh.
What? The Dylan Christmas record?
Yes.
Well,
oh, Halle Jolly Christmas.
I happen to like that record quite a bit.
I
defend the Bob Dylan Christmas record.
In fact, you gave it to me to rip into my iTunes.
Look, I've seen Bob Dylan live over 50 times, and this is called Girl Repellent in some cultures.
I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus.
But the fact is, okay, the fact is, it's a, I think it's a terrific album,
okay.
And I'll tell you why.
Why?
Not, some tracks work much better than others.
Uh-huh.
I think his Little Drummer Boy is very beautiful and haunting.
Well, that's a beautiful and haunting song in and of itself.
Yeah, but Bob recorded that album with his touring band and with the Diddy Bops on backup vocals and the guy from Los Lobos on accordion. And he donated every penny of profit to World Hunger Causes.
Okay.
So he kind of released it as a Christmas gift, you know, for the world one year, because he
right.
knew it would make a lot of money no matter what.
Okay.
It does sound in some parts like your homeless, drunken uncle came into the house and began singing under the tree.
Yeah.
But a lot of it really, I think, is Dylan's case for putting forth Christmas music as authentic Americana music
uh-huh.
and as a real genre. So it,
okay.
it kind of works.
Yeah.
But again, it also works if you want your girl to leave the house.
His rendition of the Weihnachtsoratorium wasn't quite there.
Not quite.
But he
not
got
quite.
A lot of hassle because he closed his two songs with Amen, and some of his Jewish friends weren't happy about
that.
But, you know, Bob made a really did a great interview with Bill Flanagan of Rolling Stone where he said that this was authentic American music he grew up listening to.
Okay.
And that's why he did it.
I will buy that argument. We're going to take a little break here. We'll talk to John Fugelsang later on in the hour. We've got Rick Overton up next right here on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Chris is sucking on lots of lozenges, apparently.
No,
no,
that's a protein bar.
Oh, okay. Worse.
Yes.
You'd need a chew.
Exactly. This is a... Go ahead.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Minus Stephanie Miller, as you may have noticed. She's upstairs, sick as a dog.
Yep.
And, well, not sick as a dog. Back's in front of fine. But she's recuperating from...
From the flu that she had yesterday.
Yeah.
She had a little bit of it on the air yesterday. You might have been able to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
But then, as the day went on, she got steadily and steadily worse. So she's upstairs recovering from that. So you got Jim and me. Right here on the Stephanie Miller Show at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12.
And
plus, you can watch us on Free Speech TV.
Look at that. There's cameras
here. And at freespeech.org.
Mm-hmm.
So we got that going on for us. And you can listen to us still on various radio stations across the country on Sirius XM and on various apps like the Progressive Voices app, mm-hmm. on TuneIn Radio, on Stitcher, and on the Stephanie Miller app, which is available in the iOS store.
You can get it on Roku.
Roku. Just go into the Roku store on your TV and just download the Free Speech TV channel, and there you go. You'll go watch us every weekday morning from 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. All right, and on the line we got Rick Overton back with
Yay.
Us. Thanks for hanging on with us, Rick. We always appreciate you coming on.
Been enjoying the show, and you said to John, always like that. Yeah, I just got over that flu that Steph has. That, all the comics have it because we're all kissing the same club booker's ass.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty nasty thing. I mean, she'll tell you about it when she comes back, but wow, she was really, really sidelined.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember.
Yes.
Oh, it's weird when your head feels like your brain is in a sort of floating oil bath for a compass. And you turn your head left, and your brain is still looking straight ahead, you know?
Oh, my God.
And slowly drift to catch up with it under your skull.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn. So
I want to talk to you about, KEIB. What do we do? Do we do have a little chat with their advertisers or what?
KEIB is our former Los Angeles affiliate. They changed their call letters from KTLK to KEIB in reference to Rush Limbaugh.
Excellence in broadcasting.
That's right.
Expressions in broadcasting.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, it was a business decision that Clear Channel made. You know, they own all of the shows that are on there now, including Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh, and, you know, corporate told them that they needed to put their own shows on a station in Los Angeles that they owned. So
how about Mark Levin, who's
sarcastic and ultra left
and
wing,
ultra right wing.
Yeah,
he hates people more sarcastic.
So
yeah.
So that's what happened.
Well,
there,
because they really read the pulse of Los Angeles,
right? And San Francisco.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, happened the same day in San Francisco too.
Well, let me just officially say it won't work.
Yeah.
And for a much larger reason,
You hear this, right? It's the reason why, because nothing you're doing is working. Mm-hmm. Everything sequentially is backfiring because evil is just not on the board anymore. Once everyone knows the basics, because I think liberals have only gotten past the incredulity loop of going, I can't believe they're doing this. I can't believe they're doing that. It's sort of the thing that hangs liberals up is their incredulity, because while you can't believe it, they're robbing you while you stand there and go, I can't believe it. Once you can believe it, you can start doing something about it. And that's what America's doing.
But it doesn't seem to be about profits anymore. It's not even about the money. It's about propaganda, just getting that message out there. They don't care if the shows do well or not.
Oh, yeah, I think those are placeholders for things that they profit from by public opinion.
Mm. Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah. There's a lot of times it's just a sacrificial throw to get this. But it shows you how important public opinion is that they'll do that. If it's that important, keep fighting to counter it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're doing.
That's what we're doing. Yeah.
I love it. So, yeah, because there's a whole... The Fox News is hemorrhaging out like a bag of rice with a giant cut at the bottom.
That's a great image.
Feeling every step they take, they're leaving this long trail of former fans. Now there's the mostly airport TV and sports bar network.
Yeah. And gyms, too. They have them on in a lot of gyms.
Right, those places where you don't have the remote.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's awful. It's awful.
Well, I mean, everything I'm saying is the good news. I mean, it's awful, but it had to be the problem. The fact that we know it is the good news. The fact that knowing it kind of makes it fall apart is the good news. And all of that is happening.
So what do we do about
it? Continue doing what you're doing about it because it's working.
Yeah.
The fact that we can say all these things is because people spoke up. The internet has ruined everything for them.
Yep.
Right.
And they can't get a hold of it because no one they hire to be a troll is that smart. They're all kind of stupid.
No one smart
takes a troll job.
And also, a lot of people on their side tend to be a lot older and don't know how to use the internet.
That's true.
So we have that going for us.
Right. Yeah, web TV is it.
Yep.
HTML.
Free Speech TV.
Yes.
Yes.
Who's on Free Speech TV? Oh, wait a minute. It's us.
Yeah. freespeech.org. You can watch us right now at freespeech.org. And go to your Roku box.
Roku.
And get the Free Speech TV channel. And you can watch us on your big screen.
You can also see Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman.
That's right.
And Tom Hartman.
Tom Hartman. And
a bunch of other good people.
Yeah. And you can watch Bill Press.
Bill Press.
Yes. So,
I'm glad you guys are back on the air.
Yes, glad we are too. What about this thing in Utah? They had a whole bunch of same-sex marriages going on after the lower court ruling saying that the ban on same-sex marriages there was unconstitutional. Then they had about 1,000 couples get married in the state of Utah, and now the Supreme Court yesterday. Has put a hold on marriages in the state of Utah. So now we have a similar situation going on in Utah that we had in California,
mm-hmm.
where some couples are legally married, yet newer couples are forbidden from getting legally married.
And, of course, it was Utah that put up all the money for Prop 8
yep.
in California.
Yeah. You're watching a wounded animal slowly die. You're watching that animal. It's limping. It's walking around. For the moment, it's alive, but it's going to fall over dead soon because it's doing every desperate clawing thing it can to just get in what's left, like
right.
the end of World War II. What Germany did at the end of World War II was just try to wipe out any evidence, and that's what they're doing now. They know their bags are packed. They know they have to leave. So.
Mm.
Yeah. These are all acts of desperation. The
mm-hmm.
fact that the main rift has already happened. You're watching the major crack and the damn water is spraying out like an effects movie. Now you got to clear that valley out. Your conservative valley is going to be flooded soon because once word is out, people are trying to put it back in the can again. You can't
right.
get the snakes back in the baked peanut can.
Then God knows we tried. But,
yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Again, it's an age thing too. It's the old fogies are trying to stop this. The kids don't care.
They have no idea that everything is just a mechanical business consideration. At the very top echelon, the reason they're against gays is because gays don't produce new members of their religion.
Yeah, right. The Catholics learned that long ago.
The manufacturer of soldiers.
Right.
Someone who doesn't question early will then turn into the adult that's just a useful thing for them.
Right.
That they don't care one minor whit of them.
The useful idiots, as Lennon called them. Not John
Lennon. That's the other one.
Not the Lennon sisters either.
Or Liz Lemon.
Tom Lennon. Yeah, Rena. But all of this is their desperation, and that's what you want. You want their desperation. This is good news when they're desperate. That means that when the doors close, they're freaking out behind closed doors. They have no idea what to do next. You've been watching it ever since. Trojan doll, and he looks around. Oh no, it didn't work. Pull them out. More and more of them are being exposed as being in the closet, and that the most anti-gay. In fact, I can just say now, here's the basic rule. If you are anti-gay, if the needle goes to 7 or 8, you are closet gay. No question about it. End debate right there. That is the universal rule. You're complaining too much. You're gay. You're in the closet.
Exactly. Jonathan
We've got to start cutting to the chase.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool, okay, next case.
Jonathan Capehart in the Washington Post yesterday had a really, really good point. He said gay marriage on hold in Utah is not a bad thing. He said what yesterday's Supreme Court action does is guarantee that more lawsuits will be filed to get the justices to do what they opted not to do last June, rule in favor of a constitutional right of same-sex couples to marry. This is a when, not if, proposition. With same-sex couples already able to marry in 17 states plus the District of Columbia, it's just a matter of time. I think that's a really good point.
Yeah, this is a temporary thing. This will go away.
Yep.
This will fade. And there's enough other people that made it on the other side that when you're walking past them, it just can't hold because of that.
Yep.
The double standard of it will disintegrate everything. Look, 2014 is going to be great. It already is. It already is. There's lots of good news. The weather is terrible, but the spirit and what people know, once they know it, they can't unknow it.
Yep.
And the internet and you guys on the radio and some strong voices out there in the besieged alternate media, they have gotten the message through.
Yeah.
And once the message is out, you can tell how important the message is by how hard they tried to stop.
Yep.
All strategy can be read in reverse. Once you see how much someone, don't say that! Don't tell a comedian. Don't say
exactly.
It. Now I have to say it. You messed up mentally telling me that. You should have been casual about it. I might have moved on. But now you've screwed up, dude. And everyone, tell your bosses they can blame you.
And that is why we love having you on, Rick Overton. Where can we see you? Where can we see all things Rick Overton?
Next Monday at the Improv Olympic West. At 8 o'clock, Rick Overton's Noodle Bar.
Oh, very cool. What is Rick Overton's Noodle Bar?
Oh, it's Smart Comedy. We're still putting it together there, but the lineup is coming together.
Sweet.
And, people who aren't sick, they're going to be on the lineup, and we'll be good.
Awesome. Well, Rick Overton, we appreciate you coming on with us on the Jim and Chris day. And we want to have you in studio in Steph's new studio sometime very soon.
I want to come in.
Okay.
Yes, I have to come in. I can't wait.
You may have to duck. There's a low ceiling here.
Yes, and you're a very, very, very tall man.
Wear a helmet.
All right, Rick. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. All right, bye-bye. And we'll be taking a break right here and taking more of your calls at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. Jim and Chris filling in for Stephanie Miller right here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it! I don't get it, but I love it!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
I don't think I've ever seen a dude that looks like Stephanie Miller.
You know what? I think you're right. I don't think she's ever had a drag queen dressed like her.
Hmm. Huh. It's about time.
Yes. Although, in her sick bed, she might look like a dude right now.
That's true. A sick dude.
Yes.
This is shed with Old Yeller.
Yeah, this is the Stephanie Miller Show. This is not Stephanie Miller. This is Chris Lavoie and Jim Ward.
Hello.
We are filling in while Stephanie is upstairs in her bed, recovering from a really, really nasty bout with the flu that she came down with yesterday. You heard a little bit of it on the air yesterday morning when she was talking to Chris Chloe.
Struggling to get through the interview.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, she really took a turn for the worse yesterday afternoon, and so she is upstairs in bed with Max and Fred.
Wow. It's got to be a big bed, then.
Oh, it's a huge bed. Yeah. But anyway, give us a call at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. And give us a watch at freespeech.org yes. and on Free Speech TV.
We have cameras.
Hello, cameras.
Here we are.
All right. So who do we got on the...
I got Tyler from Sacramento. Hello, Tyler.
Hello?
Hey, Tyler.
I'm sorry.
There you are.
I'm sorry, Stephanie. He's sick. I wish I could have talked to her.
Well, you called us. What's up?
Yeah, anyway, John Fugelsang said earlier this morning that he has some words for Obama, and he said some things like Jesus, Lincoln, MLK, is that right?
No. John was asked to name some liberals, and that's who he said.
Okay, well, anyway, just getting on that topic, I have some words I'd like to say directly to Obama myself, and it's a historical figure, too. His name is Julius Caesar. Have you guys heard of him?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, well, I just like to say, Barack Obama is kind of like Julius Caesar in some ways.
In what way?
Obama, people hated him, too. You know, they hated him personally, they hated his policies, they spread rumors saying that he was sinister and immoral, and that he wanted to be dictator, you know? But in the face of all that, Caesar still won out, and he has power in the end. But what did he do with that power? Use it as a chance to help people who needed it, you know? He gave direct cash payments to people, supplying them with free grain. He used state-sponsored programs to improve living conditions, finding people places to live, and he organized...
You do realize that those are congressional programs not given by Obama, right?
Well, even so, it's the kind of stuff that needs to be done during a time of crisis.
Mm-hmm, right.
Okay, and the effect is, you know, what did that all do for Rome? It made people more better off than they had been in decades. And the point of this is just to say that social welfare policies work.
Yep.
Public state programs work. And it's been that way for literally thousands of years. And it's just been supposed to work as well, you know? It works for the Egyptians, it works for the Palestinians, it works for the Greeks and Persians. And like you said, with Israel, with their Jubilee years, yeah, that was also true.
Mm-hmm.
They also said that you shouldn't have any poor people in the title, which the Republicans seem to ignore.
Right.
And that's why I think Obama should take a little history lesson and learn from people like that. Because it could have benefited the Republicans.
Okay. A really good point. Thanks for your call. All right. You know what? Kenny Pick in Cleveland sent along something that might be a little appropriate for today.
Jim and Chris are with you
yes.
today.
Yes.
We're lighting our farts and doing boy stuff.
It's really filthy. Not for the kids.
Tell your parents.
Damn it, man, whatever.
Teabag your president.
Their lunatics are running the asylum.
Yeah.
It's got smoke coming out of it.
Whoops.
Yikes. Okay.
And that's when we open the bar here.
It's yeah.
Breakfast cocktail.
Mm.
They're all wasted.
We don't know what the hell we're doing.
We're going to talk about sports.
Yeah.
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 It's nothing but guys.
Yeah.
Doing manly things.
Sports.
And throwing stuff.
Whittling.
Breaking things.
Whittling.
Whittling?
Chewing chaw or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Chewing chaw?
I don't know.
Yeah, he put that together from the last time
that
we hosted. And we ended up not talking about sports. We haven't talked about sports this morning. Even though congratulations to, who was it? Well, Florida State and Auburn went back and forth with two lead changes in the final minute and 20 of the Rose Bowl last night. But let's see. The Seminoles escaped the Rose Bowl with a 34-31 victory. And that concludes our sports report for this morning.
Wait, I'm going to talk about the soccer UEFA Cup.
Okay.
The European championship.
Get on the mic.
Okay. No, I don't. I don't want
to. No?
Oh,
come on.
I have to do a little more research.
But I knew about the Rose Bowl last night.
Hey, look at you.
And it's the very last BCS game before they abolish the BCS championship thing.
Thing type deal.
Exactly, because apparently everybody hated it. And they're going to come up with a new, like, four-team playoff system next year for college athletics.
Interesting.
So there's that.
There's that. Okay, this concludes the sports section.
But you know what? I know it's been a while since the Rose Bowl has been on New Year's Day, but I want it on New Year's Day.
Yeah,
it's always been on New Year's Day. There was always the Rose Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the
Orange Bowl.
Orange Bowl. All those were on New Year's Day.
The Tapas Bowl.
The what?
Hummus Bowl.
The Hummus Bowl? No.
It's only in there.
Yeah, okay. All right. That concludes the sports report for this morning. John Fugelsang will be joining us next, thank God, and we won't be talking with sports with him right here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Stay tuned.
Stephanie Miller.
I think he might be the one. You've only known him for 10 minutes.
I know, but sometimes you find out a guy owns a winery and you just know.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie is upstairs in bed, ill. She be illin'.
She be illin', all right.
Yes, but you got me, Chris. You got him, Jim.
Hello.
Hello.
Him, Jim.
That's me. And you're listening to us on fine radio stations across the country, on Sirius XM, on various apps in the app stores. And you can now see us on Free Speech TV and at freespeech.org. So happy about that.
Cool.
Yes, and we're taking calls. Talk to John Fugelsang in a bit, but we got a caller on the line.
Bruce
from California wants to talk about industrial hemp.
Ah, hey Bruce.
Bruce.
Hi. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
It's a tough job without Stephanie in your studio, isn't it?
A little bit, because we're in a brand new studio, and I still don't know where everything is quite yet.
Just figuring out the call button.
Yeah.
Brand new business.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, I wanted to mention your rim light on the top behind your head is flashing on the camera when your picture is up.
Oh.
And it puts a little white streak. So take a look at that.
Natan! Natan, I got a lens flare!
Yeah. Okay. I saw right at the first,
all right.
First time I saw your show.
We're still working on the kinks. Yeah.
Yeah, I know you are.
Both
but
Ray
you
and Dave.
Good job. The studio works.
Thank
nice.
You. Thank you.
Really fun.
All
and
right.
The dogs are wonderful.
Great.
Yeah, they're upstairs with her right now.
They're not so great when you're wearing black.
John Fugelsang is so smart.
Yeah.
I don't know how he remembers all that.
We'll be talking to him
about
a bit.
His looks. He's just,
shocking.
Quasimodo, we call him.
But what did you want to say?
I wanted to mention, since we battled our way through and got pot legal in so many states right now,
right.
It seems like a no-brainer to try to push for industrial hemp.
Mm-hmm.
Because we import stuff from Canada. We have hemp up there. And we import fabric, we import, I don't know what else they make from it, but they make plastics from hemp.
Mm-hmm.
And a whole bunch of products that we now use for very high polluting products like cotton. Things are made from cotton is very, very water intense.
Right.
And we use a lot of chemicals on that. And I've had hemp material, and it's like leather. I mean, it's tough, mm-hmm. really hard to wear out.
Yeah.
And it's very cool stuff. And it comes in all the different textures.
Yeah.
That cotton and wool from it. Anyway, that's what I'm trying to push for.
Our growth industry.
I think it would help our state a lot.
Absolutely.
It would produce jobs. We could make paper instead of taking trees down.
Right. Yep.
Trees
absolutely.
Are the lungs. Yeah, trees are the lungs of our world.
Right.
Exactly.
It's terrible chopping a tree down for paper in particular.
All right. Well, thanks for your call,
very
Bruce.
Good
point. And made some great points. And now we're going to go to John Fugelsang, who is in the New York Bureau on the phone. There you go. And
there he is.
Okay. Hey, John.
Hi, guys. How are all those shiny things? Are they confusing?
Help, Daddy.
What does Jeff Biden do? I don't understand.
The sad thing is that we have a new phone system here, and it's a lot more simple than our old phone
right.
system.
Mm-hmm.
But it's different.
It's a learning curve.
Yes. Yes. So, there's a big red button that says drop when you want to drop the call, but it's, knowing that drop means drop is half the battle.
Well, my sympathies, my sympathies. But you guys are doing a great job. It's exciting, and you know, it's exciting that we have so many great sexy liberal dates coming up too. I mean, we're getting set, and very very soon, I should tell this to all the folks out there in Stephland, we will be announcing some big announcements about some special friends will be joining us for some dates. So
nice.
I hope we get to do that very shortly.
Looking forward to that. And our next sexy liberal date is in Phoenix on Saturday, February 15th.
That's correct.
Yes, and I'm going to be there. It's going to be at the Orpheum Theater, and you can go to sexyliberal.com to get tickets and to find out about other dates that are coming up, like Madison, Albuquerque, and, yeah.
Should it find left in Albuquerque?
And we'll be announcing a bunch of other bigger cities very soon. So it's going to be a crazy year for everyone. And I was excited to get the tour out because I really think this is going to be possibly the most important midterm election of our lifetimes. Mm. I don't know what you guys and all the disco trash out there in Stephland think, but it really seems like for all the losses the GOP had last election, they're much better at getting out the vote than Democrats tend to be, and they're much better at trying to make it harder to vote.
Right.
And I'm really, really worried about what's going to happen this year. I don't think the GOP is going to take the Senate, but if they do, it'll be because Democrats and independents and moderates don't get out there and allow them to.
Yeah. Well,
so we're going to take this thing on the road and do an unholy experiment in every city we go to and try to remind people that they got a job and these guys work for us.
How unholy?
How unholy it's Stephanie Miller. My God, we have to get her healthy so we can get her unhealthy.
Yes.
So what do you do about gerrymandering?
What do I do about it?
Well, what can be done?
Educate people as to when it is. I mean, the amount of folks out there, people who are news nerds like us and who listen to all this, they know what it's about.
Yeah, we know it happens every 10 years, and, you know, it's a different process in every state. But
yeah,
not everybody knows
really,
that.
It's really all about just informing your friends that voter fraud is not a problem.
Right, right.
More people are killed by TVs every year than vote illegally. It is not a problem. And that voter registration fraud, that's what happened to Acorn. They didn't do anything. Acorn got ripped off by people they paid to register.
Mm-hmm.
But even voter registration fraud doesn't lead to any problems in society. Voter fraud leads to no problems in society. There aren't millions of dead people voting. And what they're doing with these laws and with these voter ID laws, it eventually comes down to a poll tax, which makes it illegal. And that's going to be the big court challenge. If someone has to pay to get an ID to vote, that's a poll tax. And there are districts in this country where you can vote with an NRA ID, but not with your university ID.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So really, you know, the voter ID laws, it's not just hurting black folks. It really hurts seniors, as we saw with former Speaker Jim Wright.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts
students,
poor folks across the board, and it hurts college kids.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's why I want to go out and tell lots of inappropriate sex jokes.
Right. That's how you get them in. And then you start talking the real stuff.
Well, you know, I can't bore people with what the Bible really says about gay folks all the time.
That's true.
Gerrymandering and teabagging. It's,
pretty much. Jesus didn't mention either one of those things, but I don't think he would have had too much of a problem with what consenting adults do. Because he never mentioned it.
Right.
And that's the big rap I get all the time when I talk about how Jesus never talked about gay people. He never talked about abortion. He never talked about contraception. The right-wing Christians will jump up and say, yeah, well, he never talked about monster trucks either. He didn't talk about pedophilia. It's like, well, but right-wing Christians spend a disproportionate amount of time focused on those three things, and that's why Pope Francis called them out.
Right.
And that's why Pope Francis needs a food taster, and I brought it full circle.
That's right. So Pope Francis, he really pissing off the conservatives, and Cardinal Dolan had. It was kind of funny watching him on his CNBC interview because he kind of had to say, you know, what the Pope meant was.
Yeah.
He kind of had to walk the Pope back a little bit.
So papal infallibility is taking a hit. Thanks to those guys.
Well, papal infallibility has been that was kicked to the curb a couple of decades ago. But what you're seeing right now is really, you know, a turning point in the church. It's not really about sex stuff. It's about how poverty is handled. And you know, if you're a Christian, you have a big decision. You can either say, I give to charity, so I'm a good Christian, screw you, and you can ignore Jesus in the voting booth. Or you can say, Christianity plus democracy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what the right-wing fundamentalist Christians in America don't realize is Jesus didn't have democracy. He was living in the Holy Land in the first century under European imperial rule. But if you get to choose who runs your country, if you get to choose how the money is spent by voting for the guy who says how he's going to spend the money, then you get to use your Christian values in the voting booth. So if you're walking in the voting booth and saying, screw you, hippie Jesus, I'm going to vote for the guy who wants to make the rich more comfortable. I'm going to vote for the guy who wants to defund programs that help the poor. I'm going to vote for the guy who wants to nuke Iran. Well, you're not really voting like a Christian.
Right.
And that's the difference. So, you know, again, I think this Pope has got a long way to go in many areas. He sucks on women's issues. You know, he's not done anything institutionally to change policies about contraception or women in the priesthood or married priests, and that's what's really going to save the church, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But he is talking about poverty in a way that no pope has in my lifetime, and that few American politicians have the guts to in my lifetime. By calling out trickle-down by name, you know, he's already done more without changing a single policy than any other pope has.
Do you think he's...
And don't forget, the last two popes both said that the last two popes were both against the Iraq War. And the last Pope Benedict, that evil right-wing guy, well, he came out and said every country on earth has a moral responsibility to provide health care to its poorest residents, regardless of their ability to pay.
That's communism.
So, yeah, or just being a good Christian.
Yeah, exactly. Now, do you think that this that Pope Francis is in danger of maybe causing a little bit of a civil war in the Catholic Church?
Absolutely, and I hope he does.
Okay.
But the fact is, you know, he's really, the irony of Christianity is the only way to be a conservative Christian is to be a raging liberal. If that's how Jesus kind of was. You know, the religious bosses in the government didn't knock him off because he wasn't rocking the boat enough. So I think that what the Pope is doing is great, and I think that he is changing a lot of hearts and minds and shifting the debate. When he came out and said Americans need to stop their obsession with contraception, gay marriage, and abortion, that changed more than anything ever. And the whole contraception racket is, I'm sorry, it's a complete joke. And I would offer any of the right-wing trolls who listen to this show to call in and tell me where the Bible says thou shalt not wear a Jimmy hat. You can't use the Bible to say that contraception is wrong.
Yeah.
It involves deliberately misreading the story of Onan in Genesis. And so it's one thing to say, well, you're going against the Catholic Church, but the Catholic Church is going against the Bible.
Right.
The Catholic Church needs to keep their numbers up, and that's why they're opposed to contraception. That's how it's always been. And that's why most American Catholics ignore that law. And there's really no greater religious hypocrisy right now than Catholics, right-wing Catholics, who use contraception but want to beat up on the president because of contraception provisions in the Affordable Care Act.
Aha. Uh-huh. All right. Well, let's take a little bit of a break here. We'll be back with John Fugelsang. We appreciate him calling in and saving our ass
right yeah.
on the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, wait a minute. Tap dance a little bit.
Okay. Too bad I didn't bring my harmonicas with me.
I know.
Exactly.
Okay, now I got it ready. I'm still getting used to things and still in the show.
Now, Robbie.
All right. We'll be right back right here on the Stephanie Miller Show with Jim and Chris and John Fugelsang.
A beautifully wrapped, glossy, sweet-smelling show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Steffi. Stephanie's not flying anywhere.
No.
She is upstairs.
She's
in bed.
In bed up in the sky.
Yes.
Upstairs. Upper part of the house.
Yes, along with the dogs. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. You are listening to Jim and Chris filling in for an ailing Stephanie Miller. She had the flu pretty bad yesterday after the show. So she's upstairs resting. But you got us, and you got us on Free Speech TV. You can see us on Free Speech TV at freespeech.org.
No dogs today. The dogs are upstairs, which is good because we're both wearing black.
That is true. Well, I always wear black. But anyway, and we got John Fugelsang on the line helping us out. So thank you, John, for being with us today.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks.
Hooray. All right. Did you hear a sports report by any chance?
I did not. No, I was dealing with a screeching banshee. That sounds like a dying canton. Right. What's up?
We did a sports report, and Travis said, I don't think I would ever call what you guys did quote, sports report.
I did watch the game yesterday. Arsenal won, beat Tottenham 2-0 in the way they got.
Oh, great.
So, see, there's a sports report.
Okay, thank you. Now we can move on to more important things.
Thanks, Jim. We were concerned about that.
It was something they call a derby in England.
You know, the rest of the world loves soccer like America loves guns. I don't understand anything.
I lived in Germany for 3 years, so I'm more European than American in some ways.
Is it just an attention span thing? Because they hold attention to soccer for a long, long time.
90 minutes.
Yeah.
Sometimes with overtime.
Wow. I don't know, but we have the World Series for just one country, so it evens out, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
Baseball to me is a bunch of guys standing around waiting for the opportunity to run in a circle.
But what's cricket?
Oh, cricket's worse. They're down for days. Yeah. I don't understand cricket at all.
Well, you know, I happen to be a big fan of sports. I think sports is the number one reason we haven't had a second civil war in this country.
That's true.
The fact that you can have men who would be natural enemies in the wild can be brothers in arms in a stadium is something that politics can't do, but sports can do it. So.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, I got an email from a listener saying, tell John he's wrong about Elizabeth Warren.
Tell me.
Yeah, she says, Lexi in Massachusetts writes, I'm a liberal Democrat from Massachusetts. We can't lose Elizabeth Warren in the Senate. We need more people like her in Congress, and we can't afford to rush her into the White House.
I agree.
She's one of the good ones. She's uncorruptible by the lobbyists, stands her ground against the bank executives, and has a sense of integrity that won't quit. We should be focused more on electing more people like her to the Senate, and especially the House. We need actual leaders. Ted Kennedy is sorely missed, not just in Massachusetts, but in D.C. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Warren can be the next Kennedy if we let her. Tell John that as much as I love his sexy liberal ass, he's wrong about sending Warren to the White House.
You know what? No one thinks Elizabeth Warren is going to actually win the White House. No one thinks an actual liberal could really win the White House on an actual liberal platform.
Okay.
But having an actual liberal run for president against Mrs. Clinton will move the debate more towards progressive issues and will keep her honest and make her have to come down with her points of view on certain issues. Mm-hmm. I think it can only work out for the best. No one is saying Elizabeth Warren should resign her Senate seat to run for the White House. Nobody wants that.
Okay.
She's still my MILF. She's my mom I'd like to vote for.
Yes, exactly. MILF.
My MILF.
MILF.
Yeah. MILF. Vote for, yeah. MILF.
So anyway, yeah, that was Lexi, Massachusetts.
Well, that's great. Compared to the kind of trolls I usually get, that was quite charming.
Oh, well, you know, I get those too, believe me.
I bet you do.
Yeah,
you do.
But you get attacked by the Twitchy people.
I don't really understand. I think Twitchy is this place that Michelle Malkin made for those man children on Twitter to get together and, like, do a, like, sixth grade pylon where every kid makes fun of one kid in class.
Yep.
And they get to show the kind of men they are because they hide their identity while hurling taunts behind anonymity. So it's quite masculine.
That's exactly
and,
what
yeah,
it is.
They look for anything anyone does and try to jump on it. And, you know, I mean, guys like that are their own punishment. I have one yardstick. If someone's being rude to you on social media or Twitter and they're being hostile or malicious and they're hiding their identity, they're cowards. You don't have to waste time on them. They have no points to make. If they can't make a point and they can't even show who they are making a point, you're dealing with a troll. They may be paid. It's a waste of your time. You're not going to win them over.
Yep.
Move on.
And now have you heard about these click farms that are overseas?
No.
Click farms?
Yes. They're these companies that have sprung up overseas that are all – they hire people basically to click like on various things that companies have hired them to click like on to inflate their social media presence.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know you had to go overseas to fake like things. That seems to be a pastime over here.
Well, I guess they can hire, you know, incredibly cheap labor just to do.
You
the
guys were in LA where everyone pretends to like everything.
Well, we like the weather.
Hey! Hey, snap.
So there.
Yeah, you got me on that one.
Okay.
So Mitch McConnell, by the way, has just offered to extend unemployment benefits if Democrats kill Obamacare. So it's good to know they're realistic.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
You'll get your subsistence check in the mail, and you can't go to a doctor. So it's pretty charming. I don't know if you guys pointed out that the unemployment benefits did pass the Senate in the last half hour.
Yes, and it was a test vote, wasn't it?
Well, it'll go over to the House now, where we know it'll die on the House floor like Bill Chamberlain.
Yeah.
But you know, in the meantime, it's nice to at least see it could pass the Senate with 60 votes. And then we'll see what goes on afterwards. But I never thought I'd see the guys who brag the most about being so American kick other Americans to the curb because they're having a bad time. You know, if you supported NAFTA, if you supported shipping our jobs overseas, and you like to talk about how great the job creators are, you're picking on the wrong people.
Yeah, it's basically a Twitchy pile on the poor. Yeah.
Go Chris for the callback.
Hey! Whoa! Go me. Go me. So anything else? We're in the final minutes here. Anything else you want to talk about, John?
Oh, my God, the final minutes of the Stephanie Miller Show.
I know. Well,
this, I'm excited. Listen, I really love what Free Speech TV does.
Yeah.
And I love that they can do it in a way where the shows don't look like you're watching a hostage video. I think that Free Speech TV is a way to get a non-corporate voice out there. And for those of you who just listen to Stephan Radioland, I encourage all y'all to try and find the show at freespeech.org and, mm-hmm. and check out the other shows there, too. I learn a lot. You'll hear points of view you won't hear on most of the media. And there's a lot of fun programming as well. So you want to be the smartest and most moral person around the water cooler? This is the place to come, and I hope you guys have a great experience doing your show here.
I think we will. Natan has got us up and running, and we look good, except for the lens flare in my face. We're working on that, though. And, you know, we're sounding good, and we just appreciate everyone at Free Speech TV for putting us on and getting us up and running. And, you know, our lead-in is Democracy Now! Couldn't have a better lead-in, and mm-hmm. Tom Hartman is on our channel as well.
Fantastic.
And Bill Press as well, and so
all my favorite people. I love Bill. I fill in for him sometimes, and I just saw Amy Goodman over the weekend at NBC. I think she's probably maybe the best journalist in America, and you're in really good company. So you know, I have to watch when I watch Free Speech TV. I have to have a notepad to write down all the smart stuff I hear all the time.
Yep,
because I do get a lot of not from me or anything on this show. Good God, no. But I do look forward to joining you in the studio. Who knows? If Stephanie's doesn't get better, I might be on a plane tonight to come see you.
Wow,
so.
Who can say? Well, we will find out. But thank you so much for joining us, John, and we appreciate it. And
saving our butts.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Hey, you guys did a great job today. Yeah. I love hearing you two guys go
well,
out. Thank you.
You helped out a lot, and we may be talking to you tomorrow. So
right
tune in.
On.
All right.
Let me know. Feel better, Steph.
You got it. Talk to you later. We'll be back tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.